Hello and welcome to Homeopathy at Home with Melissa. If you're ready to be independent in helping your family with acute and chronic conditions in a more natural way, if you're interested in learning how to use homeopathy at home, and if you enjoy positive, encouraging messages, then this is the podcast for you. Click subscribe, grab some coffee or tea, a pen and a notebook, and get ready to learn how to use homeopathy at home in your family. The information in this podcast and its transcription is to be used for education only. The suggestions here should not replace the advice of your medical doctor, and you should never stop any prescription medications without the advice and direction of your doctor. I am not a physician. I am not prescribing. And I am not making healthcare decisions for you. It is your choice to use the information provided here and in any future communications with me regarding homeopathy and natural healthcare.
Welcome back to Homeopathy at Home with Melissa. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Bree. I'm excited again to do another Materia Medica Monday with you. These are always so fun because we learn and grow as we're teaching it.
Right. I think sometimes you and I have talked about how we see the same things or similar things come up around the same time. So we use a lot of the same remedies for a little while. So this is just bringing back up some new stuff for me.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's fun comparing. So today we're going to talk about carcinosin.
So carcinosin, I really love this remedy, and it is the cancer nozode. And so I've got a lot of experience using this remedy. So I don't want there to be any fear around using any remedy. There shouldn't be any fear around using any remedy, but you know, I think some people are afraid to use something that's called a cancer nozode. What I want to say is if it's the right remedy, there's not going to cause any trouble. But also, if it's the wrong remedy, as long as you stay within the guidelines of 8 weeks, okay, and then reassess your situation, then you're not going to move over into anything. There's no overdosing or, you know, true side effects with homeopathy. So there's aggravations and there's provings, and you can watch or listen to our podcast on aggravations versus provings to know more about that. So I'm going to go over here and we are going to talk about carcinosin. So I like to use carcinosin in a 30C or a 200C usually. I like to do a 30C maybe just once per day. If I do 200, I'm probably just going to do once per week. There are some of my clients who use 200C every day, and that's not usually it's their own. They decided on their own to do that, and they do just fine with it. And so we just go with it. So carcinosin can also be overprescribed because it covers so many conditions and symptoms that you can kind of fall into the trap of, when in doubt, give carcinosin. So it really looks a lot like some other remedies that we'll talk about in a little bit. But carcinosin comes from the breast cancer tumor. And if you don't know a lot about homeopathy, I just explained this to somebody the other day. Our lingo is it has or it does. And so when we say that, it just means the carcinosin, if you're going to use the carcinosin remedy, you might have some of these symptoms. You don't have to fit the picture 100%. So it can have the carcinogenic tendency. So look at what does the cancer tumor do? It's the rebel cell.
it's proliferating out of control, taking over and metastasizing to various other parts of the body. And then how would that translate to the psychological state? So it's, so that's kind of how we can think of remedies and their pictures and when we would consider them. So think about to what extent is the person trying to control everything, because that's what carcinosin does. They need to control everything. And like the tumor, something is out of control in my own organism. So how do I rein that in? How do I best control that? Because carcinosin, the person who needs carcinosin really has a big need to control. So this person lives in a whole lot of shoulda, woulda, coulda. The idea of the clash between conformity and rebellion. So they are conflicted. Underneath the conformity, there's a rebel. So they look like they've got it, not that they have it all together, but they conform, they follow the rules, but there's a rebel in there that maybe used to come out in their teen years or will come out again later in life or can just sometimes pop up. And so the carcinosin child is easy to see, but the adult is harder to peg because there are layers of suppression. And so we don't see the rebellious side of adults because we have this maturity, right? That this maturity where we hide it, we stuff it, and we call it maturity. That's why I did my air quotes. But so there's this rebellious side, but we see the conformity on the outside. So close to carcinosin, like I was saying earlier, there are some remedies that look a lot like carcinosin, and those are Napmure, Sepia, and Staphysagria. Those are all controlling. They all hold in the impulses, and they are carcinogenic remedies. So again, control, control, control. Carcinosin is constantly controlling things. What does that look like? You know, when I say that, Bree, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but can you give an example of what it kind of looks like when somebody needs to control, or is there a word that comes in your mouth?
Okay. And I would think in an extreme sense, you have OCD, where that's really, you're controlling, I don't like, not the term weird, like abnormal things matter so much. OCD is very extreme. But then I also think of often I can tell what my issues are by looking at what upsets me the most. So if you can look at your situation and say, why am I stressed out here? Why am I anxious here? That's kind of what those layers of suppression are that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Where we learn to control these feelings of, I want to be in control by calling it something else or avoiding those situations. If you look at something that you're like, I don't want to go do that because I don't know what's going to happen. And I think sometimes it can look like anxiety.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. So when I see somebody trying to control everything, I automatically think anxiety.
Even criticism, if you're hypercritical, if you leave a situation and you're like, well, they should have done this, they could have done this, should have, could have, would have, not necessarily always yourself. Right. I think some people project onto other situations they could have run this event better if they would have done all of these things this way, or this person wouldn't have to feel this way if we look at everybody else's lives and control them. You could also tell really quickly if there's your beautiful family members, like, you're always so controlling. And we're like, no, we're not, you know?
Yeah. It really does. It literally breaks my heart when I see a person wanting to control everything, because I know the deeper thing is anxiety. And I know that they are tormented. A person who feels like,
do you think it's flip-flop? Do you think we want to control, and because we can't, it manifests as anxiety? And we often cover the anxiety, but don't deal with the control problem, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. So, And I'm speaking from experience, personal experience. I used to want to control everything because I was worried, because if I wasn't in control, nobody else could do it right, pride. If your way is always the best way, or nobody else can do it as good as you, that is pride.
Okay. I see what you're saying then, where your anxiety caused your need to control. Okay. So I do think it can work both ways. And then some people's need to control causes anxiety because they can't.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So driving, I always drove everywhere, even as a teenager in my 20s, always drove everywhere. And so probably one of the hardest things that I've had to do is ride with my teenagers as they get their driver's license. I am like inside, I'm beside myself. And
have you ever used carcinosin?
I haven't. Mm-mm.
You have used sepia though.
Sepia. Mm-hmm. Sepia and Ignatia. Mm-hmm. It's scary. It's scary for me to ride in a car with somebody else because I'm not in control of that car.
That is like a really tangible picture of not being in control. I literally don't have the wheel. I don't have the pedals.
Yeah.
I'm just riding along here.
You're just sitting there like a merciless person.
We used to talk in my girls' small group. This is a side story, but kind of goes with this, about how parents will tell kids, like, come on, just get in the car. We're going to go do something good, or we're going somewhere. And how little kids just like, either they, okay, I'm going to go in the car wherever mom and dad drive is fine, or they're going to throw a big fit and be like, I don't want to go do that, even if, because they don't know what's coming. Anyway, short version of the story is we used to just start telling the girls, just get in the car, like let go of your control. And you just get in the car and let God drive, you know, essentially. Yeah. So
I'm getting better with each child that I have to ride with. I get better, but it's been a really hard thing. And I am so thankful that Paul does not like to drive because he drives all day, every day. So every time we go anywhere, I drive, I'm happy. He's happy. Everybody's happy. So back to carcinosin. And you know what, guys, I hope that those of you listening to this, you know, me putting personal things out there like that make you see I don't have it all together. I don't have this perfect health or life just because I have every homeopathic remedy there probably ever was made and all the knowledge. I don't have it all together. So I am just human. So carcinosin can also, it's also a big remedy for OCD. So obsessive compulsive, they must do it their way. But they're not able to really express themselves. So their way becomes blurred. Like they don't really know what it is because they conform to society's view or society's views. And society's thoughts of what should be done. So the it's blurry, like what, you know, you want it done your way, but you're also trying to conform. So it's got a lot of people pleasing, carcinosin, and also perfectionism. So it must be done perfectly. Carcinosin is great for mothers. So moms sacrifice everything for everyone else. They don't care for themselves. And so that they can care for everybody else. And that is a great factor or symptom of carcinosin. So they work themselves into the ground for other people. And they have to be so right and so good that they give themselves no rest. So is that Mary or Martha?
That is Martha.
Okay.
Right. We want it to be like Mary, wash the feet of Jesus. Yeah. With her. Yeah.
So they have suppressed rebelliousness. So they can conform and please people. They look out on the world and see chaos and they need to control it. And it's a lot like Arsenicum album. There's a lot of fear, and especially around health, of Arsenicum album. So I should do it that way because society says that I should do it this way. And I will do it the way that society says I should do it at the cost of being myself. And I'm not saying this is how I am. I'm really talking about carcinosin. That's how carcinosin is. So carcinosin feels like they should do it a certain way because society says that they should do it that way. And they will do it that way at the cost of being themselves. So they won't, you won't even know who the true person is because they're always doing things in a way that is people pleasing. These people might be adopted and they don't know where they came from. Especially people who are adopted and don't know where they came from might need carcinosin. They are resistant to change. Carcinosin is resistant to change. Don't like it at all. They're absolutely not selfish. They need to look after themselves more. Like somebody needs to come along and say, you need to take care of yourself a little bit. They can't say no. So this person might end up with a cancerous tumor because of suppression of themselves. They can't let it out. So that's a lot like Nat Mirror. They can't let it out. They're deeply sensitive, artistic, creative. They love music. Dancing is therapeutic because that's them letting it out. So
it's just a pattern of suppression, really.
It really is. So they love to dance like Sepia. Sepia loves to dance. They're a repressed person. So carcinosin, when you're looking in somebody's history, they have a lot of responsibility at too early of an age. That's a big keynote in this remedy. So they, you know, whether their mom was absent or working or, you know, mentally ill, whatever the reason or maybe they're the oldest of 9 siblings or whatever. You know, maybe there's only 2 or 3 of them. They had too much responsibility placed on them at a very early age, and they become this carcinosin person. They still see, sometimes you'll still see outbreaks. Like I said earlier, you might see rebellion pop out in them every once in a while, like a craziness or a wildness. So maybe it's that they go to a wedding and they drink too much and this whole different person comes out. Where normally they hold it all together and they've got everything perfect and they're, you know, there's just this perfect person, but now it pops out. So Bree, I'm going to let you take over from here and talk about some of the other things.
Okay. I'm going to talk about some of the physical characteristics. So, these will probably have a wide variety. This is going to cover sometimes, it's appearance. One of the things is these people can be, have a complexion, a very dark complexion. So either have origins, their families from Africa, India, just think a darker complexion. Babies or children may have very bluish whites of their eyes.
Really? For really blue? Yeah. Like you can see it.
Mm-hmm. That would be so interesting. I have never seen that. Or maybe just never paid attention. They might have the tendency to have big moles or hair on unusual parts. So those are pretty distinguishing factors. They also may be incredibly sympathetic to the point of their own detriment, which we mentioned before. So that's like a mental picture too. Might have anticipatory anxiety, or they're just high anticipation people, worried about things going out of control, similar to arsenicum, like we mentioned, nitric acid, like a podium. They may love thunderstorms. Might be a person that has a lot of nail biting, which is also a Nat Mirror, is a nail biting remedy. So that's a cool overlap too. They may have the feeling as if something is trying to break out, which is that control thing, right? They're trying to control what's happening internally. They suppress, again, the suppressing natural inclinations, which lead to chronic fatigue, post-viral syndrome, exhaustion, Those are things that often present at some point as people are healing. They're very sensitive. Usually carcinosin tends to be a remedy for women. Obviously, it can still be used for men. It just said more often for women. Hypersensitive, usually have a history of grief. They may have a history of glandular fever, like mononucleosis. Is there another mono? That's the typical mono, right? Yeah, mononucleosis. Yeah. The differential or the rubric, never well since. We talk about that sometimes, never well since. So that was a good one for if never well since, mono, or like we mentioned above, a post-viral syndrome. High achievers, they are perfectionists often. You might see this, these people might be religious or adhere to religions with a level mentality, like working their way up and very works-based, because that's brings them a lot of satisfaction. Carcinosin people may have insomnia, just not able to sleep or achieve a deep state of rest. So just not waking up rested. They might crave foods like butter, chocolate, salt, vinegar, or changeable flavor cravings. That's similar to pulsatilla too, like you mentioned before. So if it's the child who has no childhood illnesses or recurrent childhood illnesses, which tends to be the way remedies work, right? They either have of the pendulum.
You could have either extreme, because homeopathy is going to bring homeostasis, so bring it into balance, whether you have too much or too little.
Yeah. Okay. So it may also be good for whooping cough, especially in young babies. And I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's because the idea is that a young baby comes out, they obviously haven't had time to suppress, and maybe it's a carried over thing from the parents?
I don't know why. I don't believe that I would use carcinosin. It would not be one of my first ones. So I don't know why it's whooping cough in the first few months of life.
And maybe that means there was a history of that. Maybe that's something in their history, maybe is what you meant.
It definitely wouldn't be my first go-to for whooping cough.
Okay. Carcinosin might also have twitching and tics, or a mind that never stops. So racing thoughts, could be, we've talked about lots of suppression. So you might see somebody who has suppressed anger and gets cancer or a tumor develops. They may have a history of abuse, which makes them fearful. They might shrink back like they're protecting themselves, and that feeling never goes away. So they're constantly trying to protect themselves, which brings exhaustion. Very fastidious people, maybe a family history of cancer. That's a big one. I think we ask people about too, is a family history of cancer. They may weep while talking about their symptoms. Also can be good for constipation or worms. Probably not the first ones I would think of for constipation or worms, but carcinosin is really not like a first remedy in my mind. What would you say about that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's never a first remedy that I would go to. I guess I shouldn't say never. I think the only time I would use carcinosin as a first suggestion is that maybe the person has tried all the normal things themselves and nothing's worked, or the picture matches so closely and it hits so many things in that, and it just screams carcinosin. And then I would just be like, wow, I mean, if this fits so well, there's no reason not to use it first. But it's just not, you know, like I said, with whooping cough, I would go Ipecac or, you know, Blado or some other kind of remedy, antimonium, whatever. Right. Before.
Okay, so maybe if we're thinking like acute, that's the word. I could not think of the word acute. Like in whooping cough is something, if you notice maybe they're having recurring illness, like this mentioned, or recurring constipation as part of the big picture, of course, carcinosin could fit. But like worms, even, I wouldn't think carcinosin for worms unless I just couldn't get rid of it. And there was other big contributing factors. Yeah. Is at least where my mind goes, but you've been doing this a lot longer.
So we talk about carcinosin in our miasms course. So go purchase that. And not just, you know, not just so you can learn more about carcinosin, but like what we're just talking about, like what you're just saying, Bree, is when there's a deep family history and you haven't, you've tried all the normal remedies, those are some good reasons to then go to treating or, you know, looking at the miasm. And so the miasms course, carcinosin is a big remedy in that course. So go see that on my website under the courses tab. And I hope that blessed you. Carcinosin is a great remedy. Don't be afraid of it. Don't use it willy-nilly. Like, we don't use any remedy willy-nilly. But, you know, if it fits, use it. Yeah. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
This was great. We'll see you guys next time.